it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Buenos dias, chicas y chicos. Hello and welcome, a very warm welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts, one court for life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about the network, go ahead and check out evergreenpodcast.com. So this is the inaugural season of the Joy of Paddle podcast. And to start with, we're going to do an episode once every fortnight. Episodes will drop every other Wednesday at 12 noon London time. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and review. So for this fifth edition of the Joy of Paddle podcast, my guest is Denise Hofer. Denise is the number one German paddle team player alongside Vicky Kurtz. She's captain of the German national paddle team and runs D-Style sport management and management business. A former professional tennis player, since 2018, Denise has scorched onto the paddle scene. She's currently ranked number 126 in the world on FIP. She's also a good friend, and I've had the pleasure of playing with Denise many a time. Vamos! Well, Denise Hofer, so great to have you on the show. I mean, like some of the other people who've been on the show, I have had the great privilege and pleasure to play with you. And it's always a joyful experience. Denise, in your own words, who are you?
Hi, Minter. Thanks for having me here. This is like hopefully going to be a lot of fun for you, for me, for everybody else. My name is Denise. I'm 42 years old. I'm born and raised in Germany. I'm a former tennis pro. And right now I'm trying to do my best in paddle. Let's see how far it can go.
Yeah, so let's talk us through. I mean, so you played, obviously, pro tennis in the women's circuit. Talk us, you know, how that was, and then your transition into paddle. How did you get to paddle?
Well, talking about pro tennis player, I was always doing my school and my studies the same time. So I was ranked between like 300, 350 WTA, and I was playing first division German league. So I made money with it, but I was still doing like all my education stuff. So it was very intense. It was an intense time, like doing the school and the university in the same time, trying to be a pro player. But I did it with a lot of passion. I don't regret a second I did that. But I stopped like many years ago already. But tennis is one of my biggest passion and will always be. And paddle, I was just kind of running into it. It was like a coincidence. Call it serendipity. Call it whatever you want. I call it luck. Because now it became like probably my biggest passion, maybe even a bit bigger than tennis right now. I was very lucky that some of my friends, my close friends, who are also like tennis players, they introduced me into paddle. So like 4 years ago, they asked me to come to south of France because they're having a court there. And they were like, hey, Denise, why don't you come for the weekend? We have a thing, a sport which is called paddle. You should try it. And we have a court at the family's house. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know. What is this? I'm not so sure if I will like it.
Well, but you weren't sorry about going to south of France, I'm sure.
No, well, south of France is definitely not the wrong place to be, definitely not. And also because they are all tennis players as well. So they promised me, Denise, in case you do not like it, we'll play tennis with you. I'm like, all right, all right, I'm going to come and I will see if I like it or not. So I got my ticket, flew to south of France, returned to south of France on a Friday, went straight onto the paddle court like they always do, those guys. Sure. Well, I actually barely left the paddle court till Sunday night till I flew home. So, Yeah.
Immediately fell in love.
Love at first sight.
So, because people, this is just an audio of you, they won't know that you're not a 6'5" giant.
I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Hold oops. On. Hello.
Whoa. News.
With my heels, I am.
News alert, news alert. So, but your transition into paddle, because oftentimes tennis players struggle to get into paddle. To talk us through your movement into it. I mean, obviously, did you have the same kind of struggles as, oh, the wall, oh.
I would lie if I would say no. So definitely a big yes. And everybody was telling you, Denise, let it go, let it go, let it bounce off the wall. I'm like, no, 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 no. And they're all like, but the wall is your friend. I'm like, no, it's my biggest enemy. They're like, no, it's your friend. I'm like, no. So yes, I definitely did have my struggles. Until now, there are always like points in the match. You're like, oh, serious? Why did the ball come out of the wall like this way and not the other way?
Yeah,
so
especially when you hit a lefty or something. Yeah.
Totally true what you're saying. But I have to say, we're not enemies anymore. We become friends. We are probably not besties yet. But we're getting there.
Love it. So today, Denise, you obviously practice you have another profession, which is in the sports management. But in terms of today, paddle, you are number one ranked in Germany.
I am.
Who's your partner? How did you make that? How's that going?
Well, as everybody know, paddle right now is the fastest growing sport in the world. So also Germany discovered the sport a bit later than some other countries, even though it's like a big country, but it's like really, really growing in Germany too. And my partner, who's like way younger than I am, but I know her since she's a little kid, because she was playing for the same tennis club that I was. And we don't live far away from each other. So when I started playing paddle, she was already into paddle, like 1-2 years longer than I was, even though she's younger. But she was at this time at the United States to study. So she studied 1 year abroad, and then she came back to Germany and she's like, hi Denise. She called me up. She's like, hey, I heard you started playing paddle. I'm like, yeah, I do. She's like, hey, should we train? I'm like, sounds good to me. And since then we made a team, and in the last two and a half years, we haven't lost a single match in Germany.
Wow. So as I understand it, she's left-handed. So she plays on the right, you play on the left. And despite your size, you're definitely a strong player. How would you describe yourself as a paddle player? And the way I like to ask it is, tell us, what sort of animal are you?
Well, what kind of player I am? Let's first answer this question. Because my partner, she's not much taller than I am, but she's pretty strong. And she's a lefty, and lefties are always a bit creative, a bit crazy, as we also know from tennis sometimes. So she definitely is the one who wants to finish the point. So me, I need to kind of keep the overview over the game and also like on the, work on the defense well, but then also attack at the right point. But I have to stay a bit more patient. So what kind of animal I am? Well, my favorite animal by far is a Black Panther. Probably that's kind of how I am. I'm not the biggest, but I'm very fast on the court. And when it comes to the right moment, I can attack. But I wait, I anticipate, and I move like pretty sleek, I would call it.
There you go. I think that's fair. Very fair. So now that you've been playing for 5 years?
4 years.
4 years. What is your favorite shot and why?
Well, obviously, because I'm coming out of the tennis till today, is probably my two-handed short cross-court backhand.
Yeah. Like so it's coming in and you pound it down.
I pound it down, or as a return, if I can take it before the glass, and the one who serves and wants to approach to the net, he can't get it because the ankle is too short. So I definitely love this one.
What about a shot that you feel like you could improve on?
This is my secret. I'm not going to tell it. Hopefully none of my opponents going to listen to that. Well, it's definitely Vibora and also my smash. But I worked on it in the last 1-2 months. And I'm slowly, step by step, paso a paso, getting there.
Yeah. So what is it about the Vibora that you find more challenging when you dealing with it? Because you're so capable. It's always interesting when a great player, someone who's very capable, still has something they can work on.
It's true what you're saying. Like, I adapt really quick. So if a coach tells me to do something, I can do it normally immediately in like 2 minutes. But the Vibora is just so different than any other stroke in tennis. Like, there's no real stroke you can compare, but also it's like not brand new because it's like a mix of a forehand volley, of a slice serve. It's like, and I'm just still kind of struggling, then also keeping my wrist loose, you know. But as I said, bit by bit.
Indeed, beautiful. Well, I'm with you on that one. So you play pro mostly in Germany. You do travel, though. I saw you in London, I remember, at the FIP. What about amongst the other pro players, women or men and men? Who do you admire? Are there any players that you particularly find are really fun to watch for you?
Well, there are definitely a lot of amazing players out there, especially the Spanish guys and girls, because don't forget, like, they're all coming from paddles, not like me, myself. I just started like 4 years ago, so they're playing paddles since they're like little kids, so their anticipation is amazing, like how early they see where the ball will go. It's incredible to watch, and one of the best examples talking about that definitely is Paquito. Paquito Navarro, like, his anticipation is just crazy. For sure he's not the fittest, and for sure he's not the fastest, but he sees everything anticipated so early, so it's just amazing to see. So when it comes to anticipation, it's definitely Paquito. Talking about, like, still keeping up with the young kids, because I'm not one of the young kids anymore either, but still being so fit and in such an amazing shape and like training so hard every day, definitely Bella, amazing, by being the GOAT in paddle for me, 16 years, number one, being such a gentleman. He's like the Roger Federer in paddle for me. But also then I watched Galan, I watched LeBron, how dynamic they are, the way they jump. It's like they look like they're from a different world. Also Coelho and Tapia, like the four of them. It's a different world, a different sport. Watching them, it's beautiful.
It strikes me when I watch Tapia, Coelho, LeBron, Galan, there's a sort of a new movement to the way that they are approaching a point where they are much more dynamic, and even switching, even though left and right, they're running across the net so much more that to try to destabilize.
Well, the game changed a lot lately. I'm only in the game since 4 years, but when I see, for example, Bella playing, Pablo Lima playing, Juan Martin Diaz, they're all playing like old school paddle, which was like avoiding making a mistake and pushing a lot of times the ball back. Like those young kids, they're going for it. They're smashing. They're like crossing. They're doing wild things. And as you said, they very much disable the game the way they play now.
So Denise, you were saying you don't see yourself as a pro player. What do you mean by that?
Well, we do practice kind of like pros, but let's be honest with each other. Rio right now, 120 in the world. I'm 120 in the world. I'm number one in Germany. But still, there's no real money you can make out of it. So you need to have a daily living. So I still have my job. Luckily, I work independent. So I can travel the world. I can play the tournaments and work from wherever. I work in the sports management. I do marketing, sponsoring, and all those things. And my partner, she still goes to university. And this is the only reason we can still travel and go to the tournaments. But when people think, oh my gosh, this is like an amazing life. Yes, it is. But you need to have sponsors. You need to have some extra money, like, to cover the costs. It's like, not. We are like doing crazy money there.
No, right. So, I mean, in tennis, presumably the cutoff in terms of rankings for making in life as a pro is much higher. I mean, in terms of the ranking, 120 in paddle, you're not going to make it as a life.
Well, no chance. Like, luckily, because we're number one German, so we do have some nice sponsorships, and because the sport is growing so much, it gets more and more. But no, you definitely cannot compare it with tennis.
Do you feel that, so you work in the area of sponsorships, so you kind of know this business inside out.
I do.
Must be interesting to have knowledge of both sides of the equation, and I'm guessing you kind of know how to make that better for you.
I would say yes. Yeah, I definitely do know that. That's also why we do not have a manager. Like, I manage my partner and myself. So, because I know what is the best for us, and I talk with her directly, and whatever comes in, we split it 50-50. And like this, I have it in my own hands, and I can control it myself.
Can you tell us who your sponsors are?
Well, definitely I can. We are very proud that we are like the only German women sponsored by Cupra. because Cupra is a big name in paddle, and so we're sponsored by Cupra, we're sponsored by Head when it comes to the rackets. Mm-hmm. We do have Sportkind outfits, which is not popular, but
very cute.
Very cute though, a lot of different kind of colors, and I'm very happy with it. And then we do have some extra sponsors like sponsoring us money wise.
Nice. Yeah, so you are also very active on social. In social. You're very active on the court, of course, Denise. But in terms of your social media, and how do you work that? Do you have to show things with regard to your sponsors? Or is that an agreement, or you just do it because you seem to have so much fun when you're in your Instagram?
Well, I think Instagram, first of all, is not a place to be mean, to be mad, like to put negativity out. Mm. So I think it's completely the wrong place, I think, to put this out. So me, I try to keep my Instagram really positive, really fun, sometimes a little bit provocative. You say that? How you say that?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So, but for me, it's like a toy I'm playing around. But definitely, yes, we do have the cooperation with our sponsors. And yes, we definitely produce content for them. But this is like a partnership, like both ways. And we love doing that.
So how does someone find you on Insta?
dstyle3005. So hit me up.
I'll put that in the notes. But you talked about the fact that it should be a place of positivity. My Instagram reel is constantly about paddle. And it's true, though. I do see sometimes negativity amongst the pros, about the pros, bad attitude of like a LeBron or something like that.
I agree.
And how do you deal with that? I mean, because obviously if you're in the limelight, you're going to get good and bad.
Well, I'm used to that since many years, that I have to deal sometimes with negative comments, with negative people. So a few years ago, it really hurt me a lot. But right now I'm in the point of my life. I'm, you know what? You write this comment, bye-bye, I'm just gonna block you. I just ignore it. Like, it's not worth it. Because there are people, like, hiding behind comments. Instead, like, if you want to tell me something, just call me. Just tell it to my face. Or write me a private DM. Don't put a stupid comment below some of my posts. And I think this is really shady. And I feel very sad as well. Like, you just mentioned LeBron. And he was injured. And there's so much negative things that they put out there, like in comments about him, and he's such a sensitive person, and I do not like to see that, and I think it's totally the wrong place to do it. I like when there's like positive criticism, mm-hmm. like
constructive
positive. Exactly, totally fine for me. You can tell me everything, you know, you can talk with me about everything, but I think like right now is a lot of jealousy and a lot of unhappy people. And I think, guys, just keep it for yourself. Don't put it out there.
Yeah, I'm mentioning the LeBron. I mean, from my angle, I think from many people's angles, when you see him on the court, he looks unhappy. People tend to think, oh, how disgraceful or ungracious he is as a player, sort of getting angry at Galan. But you have a completely different side of him.
I do. I totally do. So I know about that. But I think he is one of the most supportive players of all. I've seen him with the Spanish national team last year at the World Cup. He was supporting each and every single player of the Spanish team. Even if he was on court or he was not on court, he was clapping, he was cheering, he was coming and hugging and giving them kisses on their forehead, whatever. So he's a very, very supportive player to the others, and he suffers a lot right now because of his injuries. So I think, and I speak out because of myself too, that a lot of people think bad about me too, and I don't think I'm a bad person, so I feel for him sometimes. Yes, I do.
And this, of course, is coming from the number one player. That time, you know, when you were being supportive with all the other members of the team, it can make such a difference in terms of team shape.
It does. We do have that in the German national team as well. You know, I'm the captain. I'm trying to support all the players when we play. And some, they do have more energy. Some other, they do have less energy. And it takes a lot of energy, I'm telling you, to support all the other players and be there for him. Because it's energy draining and you still want to keep the energy as well for yourself because you're going to play at one point by yourself too. So you really need to be happy with yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to focus that you keep your energy together and also to, how you call that, to energize yourself again, right, and not getting too drained.
Right. When you're the captain, are you also responsible for the choice of the pairs?
No, I'm not. This is definitely our coach. She does that together. Like, we have a female coach for the girls. We have a male coach for the guys. They take the decision. They talk with me about it, but it's totally not in my hands. And I'm very happy it's not, because this would bring me in a really bad situation after that.
It's a lot of politics. So this is the joy of paddle, Denise. And it's obviously an addictive game, but what about some of the funniest moment or some sort of silly moment that happened to you on a paddle court? Does anything come to mind?
Oh, well, we had a lot of silly moments, my partner, me, definitely, because she's pretty clumsy. So a lot of silly moments happening. So, for example, one of the last tournaments we played, she stumbled and I felt something on my right foot, but I kept on playing because a drop shot was coming. So I was running into the court till I realized it was actually her head, like, hitting my foot. Because she slipped and then she stays back there. I'm like, stand up. She's like, you hit my head. I'm like, no, you fell on my foot. Yeah. So there are a lot of crazy moments happening. As long as nobody really get injured, I mean, all's good there.
One of the reasons why I've been enjoying sports and in the joy of paddle, I want to think about is, what can you learn from paddle for life? What are the life lessons that have ever come to your mind about playing paddle?
Well, first of all, it's a team sport, right? So it's also like you're not alone. Like, I'm a tennis player, so I'm used to be alone in my court and just focus on myself. So it's definitely being a team, like looking out for someone else on the court, like communication. Mm-hmm. You communicate a lot on the paddle court. So it's definitely, this is one of the factors, and also being patient. Because I'm sometimes a bit impatient in my
Really?
Just a little tiny bit, and only sometimes, please. No, but definitely it's being patient and like also being in a team.
Yeah, this idea of communicating, I find it extraordinary how the Spaniards or the Spanish-speaking culture is much more talkative. I think that the Anglo-Saxon world from which you come, at least, you know, Britain, America, even the French, they don't talk as much on the court. It's something we need to learn. And really... relationships as in a teamwork, it's all about communication.
Well, I agree, but my partner and me, we talk a lot, but we also talk a lot about non-paddle topics on the paddle court, so we communicate pretty well. But I think it's also because we like to talk a lot and we get along pretty well, so it's also about like how you get along with each other. Like, people communicate in very different ways, I think.
Yeah. And when you look at how the paddle, the pros, there are so many changes in partnerships. Do you have any view on how to choose your partner? Because, I mean, people who aren't pros necessarily still have to think about choosing their partners.
Well, first of all, it has to be match who's right and who's left. Well, and my partner, she's a lefty. She's a really strong lefty. And I like being on the left, but I'm not the strongest left player. So for me, it's a perfect match playing with her. Like being a left side player, but not the one who finished the point, with having a lefty on my side.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing what you do, but on the right, which is more the traditional role of the right, just to sort of push the ball, control, see the big picture. What about the future of paddle for Denise? What does the future hold for you?
Well, I'm already so happy what happened to me in the last 2-3 years. I was never expecting anything like that coming up in my life again. I was competing twice in the World Cup. We twice went under the top eight. So I played the World Cup last year in Dubai and the year before in Qatar. As well, I played the European Olympic Championship this year. So they want to see if paddle might become Olympic or not. We won 2 international titles, FIP titles in the last year. So this is already great. So let's see how much further we can go. 2-3 weeks ago, it was the first Premier Paddle Tournament for women in Rome. It was the best 60 pairs in the world. And we were so lucky that we were one of them. So it was also a big honor. So our next goal is to see if we have a slight chance to play the next Premier Padel in Paris at Roland Garros. That would be great. And then there's also the European Championship coming up this year, playing for Germany again in the national team and also being the captain of the team. And yeah, I guess that's it for now, yeah? And then playing some more FIP Rise tournaments and FIP Stars, whatever. And, you know, for me, it's not my profession. So it's fun, passion, and let's see where it will take me.
Beautiful. It must be very much be an honor to be the captain of the national team. Always a pleasure to play with you, Denise. And love your energy. Keep at it, you
Likewise.
Panther.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Minter. Thank you for having me. And yeah, let's keep on playing.
Vamos!
Vamos!
So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Padel episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other padel aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email, or a, better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, vamos!
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.